Reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, August 5th, 2025. We're continuing right where we left off last Wednesday as we're in the series by Pastor Rick Warren titled What It Means to Follow Jesus. And we're looking at part two, We Are Ambassadors. So this is where he'll begin, emphasizing the important role you have as an ambassador as you serve away from home and the responsibilities you carry, setting an example and sharing the message. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
Don't get too comfortable. Don't think that this life is all there is here on earth. Don't get sucked into the myth that all there is the here and now. And don't forget your role. Your role is not to create a little cushy pad and make your life as comfortable as possible. That's not your role. Your role is an ambassador. Your role is to represent me, to fulfill your mission, and to speak in my name with authority. And you're doing it in foreign territory. The Bible says this in Philippians chapter 3, here on the screen. Comparing believers and unbelievers, he says, all the other people think about is life on earth. They're not thinking about eternity. They're not thinking about what's after this. They're just thinking about here and now. Get all you can all you get, sit on the can and spoil the rest. You know, the one with the most toys wins. No, the one with the most toys still dies. And you're valuable and your value is not have nothing to do. And your self-worth and your net worth have nothing in common. Life is not about the acquisition of things. So he says, don't get caught up in the thing that you think that life is all about things. The greatest things in life aren't things. He says, other people, they're always thinking about what life is like here on earth. He said, you are citizens in heaven. We are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. You know, I really have thought that sometimes we ought to offer Christians green cards. Because our citizenship really is in heaven. He says, that's where your home is. That's God's family. And you're just here on earth. We get a green card right now. You know, when I was thinking about this message, I nearly brought my diplomatic passport. I actually have the nation of Rwanda, because I've been there so many times, has given me a diplomatic passport, which is really doesn't mean a whole lot except when you're in New York, because it means that you cannot get fined for parking violations. So that's a really good thing, because in New York, if you're within 25 miles of the United Nations, if you have diplomatic passport, you have diplomatic immunity from all the parking violations. So thank you, God, you know. But it really, as a diplomatic passport, it's not that helpful in other places. Hadn't got me any out of any bad messes yet. But the Bible says that life is a test, and life is a trust, and life is a temporary assignment. And we're in foreign culture. And we got a green card, and this really isn't our ultimate home. Our ultimate home is in heaven. You're only going to be here for 80 years. You're on temporary assignment. Now, what am I supposed to do while I'm here? Have you ever thought about this? After you become a believer, after you accept God's salvation, once your sins are forgiven and you know you're going to heaven, why didn't God just take you on right then? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, once you're saved, why didn't God just kill you? You know, I mean, because ultimately you're going to heaven anyway. Why should he leave you here for another 20, 30, 40, or however many years it is, with all its sin, suffering, sorrow, sadness, depression, despair, discouragement, problems, pressures and difficulties and trials and tribulations and tears? And if you're going to go to a perfect place anyway, why doesn't he just take you there the moment he knows for sure you've accepted the invitation? Once you're in, why does he leave you here on earth? To be an ambassador. That's why. To be an ambassador. You see, there's only two things you can't do in heaven. You can have fun in heaven, You can sleep in heaven. You can rest in heaven. You can fellowship with other people in heaven. You can pray. You can worship. You can be creative in heaven. You can eat in heaven. And no calories. All right? There are only two things you cannot do in heaven. One of them is sin, because it's a perfect place. And the other is be an ambassador to unbelievers. Tell people who don't know the good news, the good news. So there's two things you can't do in heaven. Sin and share your faith. Which of those two do you think God leaves you here to do? Let's just think about that one for a minute. Why does he leave you here on earth? He leaves you here to tell somebody else. You're going to go to heaven because somebody told you. Have you been an ambassador to anybody else? Now, that's the role of an ambassador. I'm a representative, and I am, I'm authorized to speak, and I've been given a mission to tell the good news to other people, and I got to remember that it's just a temporary assignment, and this really isn't ultimately my home. So, what am I supposed to do? Well, the Bible says three things. Let's look at it. As an ambassador, you have three responsibilities here on earth. And these are the things that God wants you to do as an ambassador. Number one, I must be an example. I must set an example for other people. The first thing God wants you to do is help other people know what God is like by being an example of his character qualities. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, meekness, self-control. Now, the Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 2. People who do not believe are living all around you. That's kind of obvious. People who do not believe are living all around you. And they might say you're doing wrong. So, live such good lives that they'll see the good things you do and will give glory to God. What's he saying there? The first job of an ambassador, whether it's of a country or of Jesus, is you set a good example. You set a good example. Every summer, I take part of our team and we tour one particular continent to see how the peace plan is progressing with all of our churches and all of our network in that particular area. A year ago in the summertime, I took a team to Latin America. And we went to Colombia and to Brazil and to Uruguay and a bunch of different places. One of the places we went to was Argentina. And while we were in Argentina, we were in Buenos Aires, and the U.S. Embassy heard that the team from Saddleback was in town, and they asked us to come over and meet the ambassador who wanted to meet our team. So we went over to the embassy in Buenos Aires, and the guy was quite a nice guy. He had been an ambassador to several different countries in his lifetime and stationed at different missions. And so I was asking about what it was like to be an ambassador. And I said, what is the most difficult part of being an ambassador? He said, the fact is, you're never off duty. You're always being watched. Everywhere I go, people look at me, and for many people, I'm the only American they know. So they look at me, and he said, if I had an 8-hour job, I could go home at night, and that was it. But he said, if after work, I go out to a restaurant, people are watching. Say, isn't that the ambassador of the United States? And they see if I'm cranky to the waitress, if I'm an ugly American, and I'm demanding, and I'm grouchy, or if I'm egotistical, or act like a prima donna. He said, we're always on. We're always being watched. We're always representing our country. What if you lived your life like that? That you realized that you're always on as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. That no matter where you go, you are the only Christian some people will ever know. That the people around you, you're the only Bible that they will ever read. You are a living Bible. And as a representative of Jesus Christ, as an ambassador of Jesus, you're either a Bible or you're a libel. You either make God look good or you make God look bad. And there's plenty of Christians who make God look bad. Would you agree with that? And they say stupid things and they're dogmatic and they're mean and they're cranky and that's not a good thing. See, there are two reasons why people don't know the Lord. One of them is they've never met a Christian. And the other is they have. And they say, if that's what a follower of Jesus is, no thanks, God. And so you need to realize that your life is to be an example in everything you do. When my kids were growing up, particularly in the teenage years, it used to bug them that I greeted everybody no matter wherever we went. You know, they said, Dad, do you always have to smile at everybody? I mean, you're in the grocery store and you're talking to people and you're greeting people and you're waving. Doesn't matter if we're at the theater or we're at a baseball game or, if, you know, we're driving down the street or you smile at everybody. Dad, you have to always smile? I said, I'm an ambassador. That's true. I'm an ambassador. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And there are people out there in the community who go, I know who that guy is. That's Rick. And they want to know, does his walk match his talk? Is he two different ways, one way at church and another way in the community? Is he genuinely kind to everybody? Is he friendly? Is he compassionate? Is he merciful? Is he polite? Does he take into consideration other people's feelings? I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ, and so are you. And people are watching you all the time, so you must set an example. So my question is, how well does your daily life represent Jesus? Can anybody tell from your example what God is like? I mean, if they look at you, would they say, you know what? Jesus must be very kind, because that guy's kind, or she's kind. Jesus must be very patient because Jesus is in his life and he's patient. Jesus must be very forgiving because that guy doesn't hold it against you. He's forgiving. He returns good for evil. What does your life say about God to the people around you? You may not like it, but if you claim to be a follower of Christ, you are an ambassador. You may be a lousy one or you may be a good one, but you are an ambassador. You represent Jesus in everything you do, whether you like it or not. So the first thing is, I must set an example. Second responsibility of an ambassador, I must share the message. I have a message that God has given me, and he wants me to share it with other people. Now, it's interesting that in politics or in diplomacy, ambassadors are often used in history to end wars. Ambassadors are sent to negotiate the peace. Ambassadors are sent to sign the treaties. Ambassadors are sent to bring a reconciliation between warring entities and conflicting groups. And it's not an accident that God chose that term to refer to you. We're to help people make peace with God. We're to help people reconcile their relationship to God. We're to help people make their peace with him. Now, God's very clear about the message he expects you to share. So let's read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 19 says this. Anyone who is joined to Christ becomes a new person. The old is gone. He says, you know, all your past is wiped out, forgiven, forgotten. You get a clear conscience. He says, you get a chance to start over. And most of the world is hungry for that. They want to know, how do I get rid of guilt? How do I get rid of shame? How do I get rid of regrets? He says, anybody who's joined to Christ becomes a new person. You get a fresh start in life. It's like being born a second time. In fact, the Bible calls it being born again. It's like getting a fresh start. All this is done by God. In other words, you don't do it. Who through Christ changed us from enemies into his friends and gave us the task of making others his friends also. That's our task as ambassadors, to make others the friends of God. Our message, here's the message, is that God was making all human beings his friends through Christ. That's why he sent Jesus. God did not keep an account of their sins. He forgave it all. And he's given us the message which tells how he makes them his friends. Now, this passage is filled with spiritual truth, so let me point out a couple things. Number one, the first part of our message is this. Jesus offers everybody a new life. So that anybody who's joined to Christ becomes a new person. This is the message of regeneration, the message of a new birth, the message of you get a brand new life. Would you like a chance to start over? Ever been halfway through painting a room and you say, wish I could start over? Halfway climbing up a mountain, wish I could start over. Halfway through life, go, wish I could start over. God says, you can. I'll give you a brand new life. Jesus offers everybody a new life. Second part of our message is Jesus ends our war with God. Did you know that you're at war with God until you make peace with him? Where's the war? The war is the conflict in your soul on who's going to be God, you or God. And the Bible says every human being and all of humanity is in rebellion against God because I want to be God. I don't want God running my life. I want to run my life. I want to make my decisions. I don't want God telling me what to do. I want to do what I want to do. That is the attitude that got Satan kicked out of heaven. It's pride. The middle letter of pride is I, and the middle letter of sin is I. And he's saying, it is I that causes my problems. And that rebellion against God puts me at war with God. You may not realize it, but you're at war with God until you accept what Christ has done for you. And that conflict causes all of the problems in your life. This unknown stress, the subconscious pressure, the guilt, the fear, the anxiety, all those different things come from being out of whack with your Creator. And so he says, we're at war with God, but God says, God wants us as his friends. That's the message of reconciliation. And then he says the third thing here, all of our war crimes have been forgiven. God just wipes them out. That's salvation. Now, how does God do this? He does it through Jesus. And he does it out of love. Look at the next couple of verses. God was in Christ, making peace between the world and himself. That's what Jesus died for. In Christ, God did not hold the world guilty of its sin. That's good news. And he gave us this message of peace, which is, by the way, why we call it the peace plan. Saddleback's initiative all around the world, which we call the peace plan, is based on this verse. And the P in peace stands for plant churches and promote reconciliation. Why? God has said we have a message of reconciliation. We have a message of peace. We have a message that says the warring parties are being brought together. God did not hold the world guilty of its sin, and he gave us the message of peace. So, we have been sent to speak for Christ. It is as if God is calling to you through us. We speak for Christ. That's, he's talking about every believer. When we beg you to be at peace with God. Christ had no sin, but God made him become sin so that in Christ we could become right with God. In other words, God took all of our badness. God took it out of us and poured it on Christ. And he took of all of Christ's goodness and poured it into us. And he said that made the peace. And we are workers together with God. Now, I want you to circle the phrase, we've been sent to speak for Christ. That's the second thing we do as ambassadors. We share the message. Anybody bought a car in the last 2 or 3 years? Can I see your hands? Okay. Everybody's bought a car probably at some point. Do you know this game that they play where you go to do like a car dealership and you find the car you want and the young, salesman is there, and then they take you inside and you sit down in the showroom and you start the deal on how much you're going to give me for my car and how much you're going to cut off the price of that car. And you think you got a deal, and all of a sudden the salesman goes, excuse me, I have to go check with the manager. You know what I'm talking about? And they play this game, and it's good cop, bad cop. I really want to give it to you like this, but I got to go check with the manager. So they go back into the inner sanctum, where you can't go. And they're there for a little bit, and they wait along for a while, you know. And then they come back out and say, well, you know, I'm sorry, but my manager won't let me get this. We're all good. Well, then I'm going to go, wait a minute. You're not authorized to close the deal? Then I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to the manager. Because I don't want to play this game of good cop, bad cop, of I'd really like to help you, but the bad guy won't let me. So let me just talk to the manager. And this little game of give and take there means that I say, if you're not authorized to close the deal, why am I talking to you? Let me talk to the guy who's authorized to close the deal. And here's the amazing thing. When it comes to offering the deal of salvation, you are authorized to close the deal. You don't have to go to the manager in the back office. You can say to anybody, I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ, and I am a pluripotent potentiary, which means I'm authorized to make the offer in Jesus' name, and I don't have to go check with anybody else. And here's the offer. All your sins from your past can be forgiven. You get a purpose for living. You get a home in heaven. And God promises to take care of your life here on earth until he takes you home to heaven if you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. That's the deal. And you don't have to go check with anybody else. You are the ambassador. God has authorized every one of his children to speak on his behalf and to make that offer and to not have to go say, well, let me go get my priest's opinion, or let me go get my pastor's opinion, or let me go get somebody else's authority. No, no. You have been given the authority to close the deal, to make the offer of the message of peace to anybody out there. Would you like to have your sins forgiven? I can offer that to you through Jesus Christ. Would you like to have a home in heaven? I can offer that to you in Jesus Christ. And I don't have to check with anybody else because you are an ambassador. Number three.
We'll get to number three on tomorrow, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, as we learn to show love by serving others' needs, by showing them respect, and by adapting to them. That'll be tomorrow, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again, or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or WLUJ.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. You were hearing a message by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, part of his series, What It Means to Follow Jesus, part two, focusing on We Are Ambassadors. It began last Wednesday, was heard today, and will finish up tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.